Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, this morning we have a phenomenal privilege to be able to be hearing from Pastor Chardon Lewis, and he is an amazing communicator. I got to hear him down at our Young Adults Conference that we've just had down at Fairbridge Village, and our young adults have just had a phenomenal time down there. And Pastor Chardon is an amazing communicator. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to step up on your feet and let's give Pastor Chardon Lewis a big welcome to church.
Good morning, church. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? Better is one day in His courts, hey, than a thousand elsewhere. If you're visiting here today, I just want to let you know you're in a good place. And this church is an incredible church with, as you can see, incredible people. And we're so blessed to be. Why don't you take your seats this morning? I'm so excited to be with you today. Can I just let you know, we've just had the craziest weekend, by the way. Like, if you maybe are unaware what's just taken place, this weekend we did have an incredible time with our young adult community. I had the great privilege to be with our worship and creative team on Thursday night. It was amazing. And ever had a messy weekend? Like, there's been tears, snot, crying, moves of God. Like, it's been a messy but really, really profound weekend. And I'm just so privileged to be here this morning. And I don't want to take any of your time before. I want to honor your senior pastors and leaders, Pastor Ken and Chrissy. Can we put our hands together for your phenomenal senior pastors across all of our locations and campuses? Honestly, I've had friends be here in this church, and I've heard great things, especially about your worship, Ken. I've heard, Pastor, like, I feel like we have kindred spirits because I'm a worship pastor back home in Brisbane, but just what God's doing in your church, like, if I could just be completely transparent with you, I'm leaving ministered to by God through your church and your community. Even though I know I've come with a word from God, I pray ministers to your life, but I'm actually leaving Perth ministered to myself. And so just really want to honor you and what you're doing in behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, in the quiet place, investing into the lives of this community. And I'm excited that this is stage one of Nations Church. Like, you're seeing growth, you're seeing four services, you're seeing new locations. Pastor Chris has just come back from overseas. She doesn't even look jet lagged. Like, she's amazing. You know, but what God's doing in this church, can I just encourage you, it's not normal. What you have is not actually normal. I get the great privilege to travel around the country and even the globe. I'm flying to Dubai tonight, then Egypt for a couple of weeks. Like, what you have in this house, can I just encourage you before we get into the Word of God? You have something really significant and special. And there's a clean spirit in this church, which, who knows that when there's a clean spirit of people, God can do anything. And so I just really want to encourage you and give you even a corporate word, if I could, this morning to say, run hard. Run after the things of God. Chase after the things of God. There's a hurting, lost city called Perth, and they need the answer that you and I have. Jesus Christ, we have the answer, the good news. And so it's my great privilege to be here today. Thank you so much. And if we've never met before, my name is Chardon. My wife, Jazz, and I think we have a photo. My beautiful wife, Jasmine, have the great privilege to serve at our church. Oh, here it is. Oh, there she is. I just want to look at that. Come on. I just want to preach facing this way. I'm like, that's my two boys, Hunter in the yellow, he's 6 years of age, and then the redhead Ranga is Knox Archibald, 5 years of age. And like, that's just a smidgen. Like, that was just them the other day at the park or something. But they're crazy energetic, but we love our kids. And we have the great privilege to serve in our local church in Brisbane, City Point Church, under the leadership of our pastors, Mark and Lee Ramsey. I believe their son's been here a couple of times ministering, Joel Ramsey. And we love our church. We're a church in 10 locations across the globe. And so my wife and I have the privilege to serve in our church as the creative directors leading the creative teams across our global locations as well as Brisbane. And so for me today to be here and to be in a church that values the house of God and worship and the power of worship, it excites me. Like, I feel like I'm right at home. I just want to take a couch and just sit here because I feel comfortable with you. We're family today, amen? And I think God's doing an incredible thing across the earth. And why don't we open up the Word of God? Because we know that it's truth and it's life and it's alive today. And I pray that this Word leaves you encouraged, leaves you edified, leaves you stirred up for the things of God as you continue to be the church. Come tomorrow. It's not just a Sunday. It's our whole livelihood, right? The body of Christ, church continues tomorrow morning in our workplace or in our different communities. But let's open up the Word of God. John chapter 15. I love this passage. It's Jesus's words for you and I. And it says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me," this is Jesus speaking, "so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that you, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Amen. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Wow. "Greater love has no one than this, than someone who would lay down his life for his friends." Church, today, the word that I want to bring to you, if you're taking notes, or if you've got your iPhone out or your iPad or whatever it may be, write down these simple words, a dynamic relationship. Say a dynamic relationship with me today. Ever been in a relationship or a friendship of some kind? It might be a next door neighbor. It could be a work colleague. It could be your mother-in-law. It could be, any kind of relationship. Someone you go to gym with, right? Ever been in any kind of friendship and the relationship's really, really bland? Like, I'm talking, it's hard work. You're asking, "Hey, how's your week? Hey, what's been going on? You know, how's the sport on the weekend?" Like, you're trying really hard, but all you're receiving is one word answers. "Oh, it's good. So what's happened this last month? I haven't seen a few..." "Oh, it's been okay." And there's nothing in common. Like, you're trying real hard. Like, there's no sense of humor, no common interests. Like, to the point, they're not even being, like, courteous and even asking how you are. Like, it's a one-way relationship, right? You know, and I think sometimes we can even act a little bit like this with God sometimes. And, even in these relationships where it's very undynamic, like to the point we're talking about the weather now. Like, it's really undynamic, those conversations that we can have with people sometimes. But recently, a couple of years ago, a group of social psychologists in the USA did a study on unenthusiastic relationships. And not only was it a case study of Americans, but Western culture with a large, wide range of participants. And the study found this, that 92% of us in Western cultured societies would credit the other party for being the cause of the unenthusiastic relationship. Now, isn't this interesting? Because statistically, that's impossible. A relationship one-on-one, it's 50-50, right? But 92% of us, some would say, even in this room today, would actually give credit to the other party for the lack of enthusiasm of your relationship versus taking ownership over our own lives that maybe that's... However, when in enthusiastic relationships, 83% of us credit ourselves. "It's a great relationship. I give a lot. I love my wife. I keep the conversations flowing. I'm good at open-ended questions versus closed." All these things, right? Aren't we an interesting human being? But in our relationship with Jesus, I wonder how many of us, the percentage of us in this room, have a dynamic relationship with Jesus. Because God didn't create all the universe, the galaxies, every living thing. You and I created for an undynamic relationship with his people. He sent his son Jesus to earth even to die a horrific death so that we may live a fruitful, enjoyable, lifelong journey with him as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, if you're a disciple in this house, you are fortunate because you have the privilege to live the most enjoyable, enthusiastic, exciting, adventurous life with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the... I don't know if anyone's raised someone from the dead the last few days, but like that same Spirit lives in you. Like every day is an adventure. And so I want to speak to us about this concept called a dynamic relationship today. Are you with me? Are you ready? I've had this moment, it was about 7 years ago where I was praying. And it's interesting how we pray because sometimes we can be the most enthusiastic, sanguine person. But then when we get to prayer life or prayer calls, it's like, "Father God, thank you for today. Pray for my work, my wife, my kids. Provision, health, amen." Anyone like that? Like, the prayer life is very obscure. Like, the dialogue is very almost boring. It's like, what was that professional moment you just had? I see you every other day of the week. You're crazy. But you're so like, gathered and professional and, It's bizarre, right? And about 7 years ago, I remember being walking, having time with the Lord, and I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit just interrupts my prayer. I'll never forget this moment. And I'm mid-prayer, I'm doing all the things. Father God, thank you for my wife, my kids, my church, my city, provision, health. And the Holy Spirit interrupts me and says these really kind words, says, I'm really bored. Like I'm super bored with this conversation. It's the same six topics every morning. And hear my heart today, like, and some of us might be here and you have a good prayer life. You know, you have a good discipline around your life to spend time with God, but we gotta be careful that our what's good intentions becomes really undynamic. And that imagine being in a conversation and you just say the five same things, or Father God, I thank you for the day, Father God, and we fill all the words up. But meanwhile, the Holy Spirit's, I'm a real person. I want an actual relationship with you. This thing should be dynamic. Let's talk about some other things. Like, let's talk about the city that needs me, and I want to use you today to lift your gaze a bit and walk across the street and reach someone that's craving intimacy with me. And here you are, child, and trying to do all the right things, being a nice Christian with this most unenthusiastic conversation called a prayer life. It challenged me to the core. You know, my wife and I, we love to date when we get to be together in the same city. It feels like it's rare, but basically once a month, we're like, let's make sure we land these times where we're in the same place and we have date time and we go out and we get our kids babysat. And our love language is food. Can anyone agree to that love language? So we love going out. We love going to new restaurants in Brisbane and just enjoying company. It might sound really boring, but that's our love language, is just sitting there eating and having conversation. And about 2 years ago, we were driving into the city. A new restaurant had opened. And we just felt like this is a bit boring. Like we do this a lot. Like we just kind of do the same style of dating. And so we said, why don't we just like save ourselves a good couple hundred dollars for starters? And why don't we just go to the local like IGA shopping center, just get some antipasto, get some sparkling water, and why don't we just go sit on the river at Brisbane in just a chill place in a new environment? And can I encourage you, that date was probably the most romantic date we've had in some time because it was a new environment. And it's the same for some of us with your prayer life. You know, maybe you have a certain prayer place or a certain time of day or a certain way that, but I want to encourage you, maybe mix it up a little bit. Maybe get a bit adventurous. Like maybe the new scenery will change the whole dialogue of your conversation with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you're not just praying in your home, but you're walking to certain streets in Perth and you're having your prayer time with God midst like chaos that's in our very city that God actually wants you to intervene in. It's time for the church to be the most dynamic people on the face of the planet because we're living with the Spirit of God inside of us. It's time to get your awe back, your wonder back, your enthusiasm back. It's a riveting like journey that we're on. The Holy Spirit, I don't know if you've like tried, I still am trying to figure out his personality type. Like I love like personality, like choleric, sanguine, melancholy, you know, all these different things, but I can't figure him out. Like he does not like routine. Like has anyone noticed that he likes to change things up a lot? Like I can't quite figure him out. But what I do know is he can get bored sometimes when we've received all these incredible gifts called his Spirit and we've received the love of the Father and his Son Jesus, yet we're living a very undynamic day to day. And so I'd love us to read this passage together and just go into it a little bit of what Jesus is actually speaking to us. Because if we capture this today in our heart, man, I pray the posture of our heart and the positioning of our perspective would be changed today for good. Even this concept as well, as we open the Word of God of comfort, this whole concept called comfort Christianity, where has that come from? Like, I encourage you today, like, choose your calling over comfort. Like, God has not called us to live a comfortable life. In fact, I believe, can I just move from the Word of God for a moment, just kind of go somewhere. I really want to encourage someone here today. We need an understanding of why Jesus came. Why did he come to this earth, you know? Because if we have a misunderstanding of why he did that, the way we live will be changed. So for example, I think some of us think he came to just purely comfort us, when in fact, I think Jesus did not come to comfort us. I think he came to confront some things. When he came, it was during time of law. There was a lot of religious activity, belief systems. Jesus, you can't hang out with a sinner. You can't hang out with that woman. Do you know what she does for a living? Like, Jesus came to confront some things, right? Because he was in a season of law. But then when he ascended to heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit, the great comforter. And I believe there's some of us even here today, I just feel the Holy Spirit leading me. It's not quite on topic, but some of us are living like a very comfortable Christianity. And the Holy Spirit maybe has sent me to Brisbane just for this one moment. Out of everything that you hear today, I pray this pierces your heart with love today. That you're kind of null and voiding the job of the Great Comforter by living a comfortable life. When we received Jesus, we gave up all our permissions to live a comfortable life. But can I encourage you, it is like the most incredible cause worth living for. It's the most exciting journey. When you give up your life, trust me, you're gonna find real life. When you give up what you think's your freedoms, you're gonna find true freedom. When we do this, all of a sudden, man, every morning's an adventure. Wake up, Father God, what do you wanna do today? Like, where are we going today? Who do you want me to speak to on your behalf today? You know, because Jesus isn't here anymore. He's ascended. He's seated with his Father. He's seated on the throne, but he's given you the Spirit of God. So you're now the remnant. You're the only physical representation of Jesus Christ in Perth right now. It's you. It's you and I right here. So every day, it's like, it's not just another day. It's not just breakfast. It's not just looking at your social media, going to work, getting your pay cut. Like, that's boring. There's people longing for the truth that you and I have. So let's read this passage together of choosing our calling over comfort. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay, that is a good relationship to be a part of. Like if I said to my wife, hey babe, you just have that credit card and whatever you want, babe, you've got that thing. Like she's pretty lucky. She doesn't have that luxury, by the way. That'd be a very dangerous and unwise thing for me to do, Pastor Ken. In fact, I feel like if my credit card ever got stolen, I'd be thankful it'll be less. They'd probably spend less than my wife does. But we have this amazing opportunity. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Like that's a pretty dynamic relationship to be a part of. Now let's get a bit of context. Because I think sometimes we think that's too good to be true. Like is that part of the Bible like actually truth? Like, I know the whole thing's the Word of God and the truth, but maybe that's just a bit. No, it's the Word of God. It's truth. I'll give you a bit of context. Before verse 7, this passage is called the vine, the true vine, in fact. And Jesus is teaching his people that he's the true vine, we're the branches. And if you're attached to him, let's say, for example, an apple tree, then when you're attached to the grape vine, you don't know how to produce anything but an apple, right? There's no apple trees producing mangoes or unconnected, because when we're connected to the grape vine, the true vine, we as the branches produce what we're created to do. The actual word abide, when studying it, means to live in submission and in accordance with. So when Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he's saying, if you choose to submit and be in accordance with who I am, then all of a sudden, this whole next passage of ask whatever you want and it will be done for you, it's not that much of a risk for Jesus. Because he's saying, if you abide in me, like your kingdom and my kingdom are going to be established and you want to see the kingdom of God on heaven come to earth, then all of a sudden, he's not worried about your big request. Because your big request probably isn't going to be 19 Lamborghinis and all these things. The request all of a sudden, the filter of our request is even the kingdom of God. So when we're asking of things from Jesus because we live in submission to him, all of the sudden it's like, well, God, I want to see your kingdom be established here in Perth. My requests are from a perspective and a filter of the kingdom of God because we're abiding. So let's read it again now that we've read a bit of the past. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Next passage, verse 8, it says, and by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Don't you love, we don't have to preach people's throats down at workplace. It doesn't say if you preach. It says the fruit of your life will actually prove that you're my disciples. You and I have the privilege tomorrow in the workplace, or if you're a university student here, or wherever you may be, or you're a mom, or you do different things, wherever you may be, right? Or you're a father who's in a community group, or wherever you are, the gym tomorrow. Do you know you get the privilege tomorrow to prove the reality of Jesus Christ simply by the fruit around your life? You don't have to open, you know, Leviticus tomorrow morning at gym to prove it. Fruitfulness, health. And I love what was hearing today, wholeness, a church, a people who are whole in Christ. That'll speak enough to a world that's very lost, a society that's very confused about who they are, where they are. Wholeness, fruitfulness in our emotions, fruitfulness in our responses to people, fruitfulness when things go across your path of life that aren't great, and there's maybe sickness or death or heartache or break. All of a sudden, you have the ability by the Spirit of God. It's not by us, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit of God to actually have peace, patience, to be kind when being rejected. That's when people in your workplace say, there's something different about you. Like, that makes no physical sense that you could respond in that way. there's something in you. Yeah, it's the fruit of our lives that Jesus is teaching you and I. That's an exciting relationship to be a part of. That's not boring. That's exciting. What a privilege to be with Jesus. Verses 9, we continue to read, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Thank you, Jesus. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. We live in a day in a society where people are lacking joy. Like the enemy is targeting joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if he can attack the church or attack people, if he wants to take your strength, he'll attack your joy. But here Jesus is teaching us that actually, if you keep my commandments, this is the key ingredient, a people of obedience, a people in a dynamic relationship saying, whatever you say, God, wherever you send me, if you send me over to, you know, UK or wherever I need to be, God, we will go. If you call us to this city, this nation, we will go. If you're calling me to the city of Perth and you want me to invest into the younger generation, the kids ministry, and the pastors are reaching out saying, hey, we're a growing church. We're reaching the lost in our city and our church is getting full to capacity. We got a lot of crazy kids back there. Like, we need a lot of help. Being a people that respond and say, I choose to be obedient to the call of God and I'm going to advance the kingdom of God by playing my part. That's an exciting relationship, like sitting on a seat and just watching a service and not being active. Oh, that can get boring. Like, let's call it for what it is. We sing some songs, someone asks you to give you money, and then someone preaches you. Like, but if you were to be activated in the gifts that God's placed on your life, if you actually play your part in the body of Christ, man, it's way more exciting. Like, I've done church unactivated. I've done Christian life unactivated, not returning my gifts to God and not serving his people. It can get boring. But man, when you choose to serve, and hear my heart, I'm not just saying serve on a Sunday. I'm saying your whole life is service unto God. On Monday, you're serving the Lord. Financially, we're serving and advancing the kingdom of God. We're serving our children. We're serving your spouse, your husband and wife. You're serving each other. Man, it's an exciting relationship. All of a sudden, things are changing. Things are shifting. Can I encourage you to keep the commands of the Lord? And I'm not just talking about the great commandments, the great 10, or I'm talking about those simple, beautiful whispers of the Holy Spirit, where he maybe speaks to you and says, hey, there's someone here that has a need today. And I don't want you to just pray for them. Prayer is powerful. Prayer moves mountains, yes. But that $50 in your pocket that you can maybe give to that person in the 8th row across there, that's actually what they need to feed their kids this week. You know, those simple whispers? Here's Jesus teaching you and I, saying, if you keep my commandments and you have fruitfulness around your life, you will have an overflowing portion of joy, which is our strength in the day that we live in. This is an exciting relationship, church. I think sometimes we maybe get a little bit caught up with doing things the way that we used to do it. Like, oh, I've been a Christian for a long time. And it's almost like we're living off old revelation and old prophetic words even. Like, where God's speaking to you today. He has a fresh word for you today. You know, you can't beat old demons with old testimonies. The demons of today need new testimonies, new words from God. God's speaking to you right now, even right now. Have ears to hear. He's continually talking to us. Let's not be the 92% that are living in this very uncomfortable one-way conversation relationship. I think I asked the young adults this weekend the saying, like, punching above your weight when you're dating someone. That's a thing here, right? So, you know when there's that guy, that girl, and they somehow pick up someone that's really attractive, and you're like, but bro, like, I've known your whole life. You're like, you're not that. But she's beautiful. Or like vice versa, you got a girlfriend, and you're like, how did you get Matt McConaughey? Like, how does that work? Like, does he know who you really are? And we say this concept, this analogy or slogan, like, oh, you're punching above your weight. I think we forget that we're doing that with Christ. Like, we're in relationship, like, we're the fortunate ones. Like, sometimes, like, are you kidding me? Like, your grace is really sufficient, like, for everything I've done, all the mistakes I've made, when I act out in flesh, when I'm not led by your spirit. Like, we're actually so lucky that he wants to commune with us. Like, we are definitely punching above our weight in relationship with Jesus Christ. And the thing is, he's not just doing it out of act of service or that his father's asked him to. He madly loves you and I. More than we can physically fathom, more than you will ever love yourself, he's madly in love with you. He's created you, designed you, fashioned you with unique gifts to then not only serve him and his church, but even the lost. He's called you to serve the least of these. What an exciting journey. Verse 12, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone that would lay down their life for their friends. If there's ever going to be a day in a society, in this millennial generation we're in, that is so self-consumed, so self-obsessed with identity, sexuality, dysmorphia, and all the crazy things going on in a climate where everyone does what they want, when they want it, for themselves. Man, when the church rises up as a city on a hill, that would give up their life for their friends and love to the measure that God has loved us. Like, think about it for us. He's loved us pretty good. Like, it's pretty big. He died for us. And here we've been given this great invitation of relationship with Jesus to abide in his love and pour out his love for a lost generation. You know, I love that I'm even hearing so many great reports of what God's doing in your house. And that was once curtain, which is now walls, which is cool. But these walls are soon going to have to go to the measure that God will bring into the house because of an activated people that are not just playing church or not just attending their Jews service, but actually are on fire for Jesus Christ. Then you're going to need many more campuses in Perth. Not because it's a good thing to do, not because your senior pastors want another 15 services to run. No. Because they love people, and because God is moving in this city and he's using you and I to live in a dynamic relationship. Even in our worship, I've been so moved by the presence of God this weekend in your church. Because it's amazing how God can move when a people are hungry and actually have an appetite to encounter God. And I remember being in the Philippines, I was sharing with the creative team or young adults, someone, it's been like a lot of services, I can't remember. But one of the awesome communities of this church about recently we're in the Philippines, my church, City Point, we have a worship team that travel a little bit, got the great privilege to minister in other nations and we write songs, etc. We're in Philippines at this amazing worship gathering at Araneta Coliseum. It's actually where Muhammad Ali had his last fight. Beautiful stadium, about 30-something thousand people. Martin Smith from Delirious was there. There's lots of different worship teams from around the world. And I'm about to walk on stage for our worship set, and this cute, awesome Filipino man just says, hey, I think it was the bus driver from the hotel, said, hey, you better bring a good gig up there. Like, you better, and I didn't even know if he was Christian or not, and I'm like, you know, God bless you, thank you so much. Like, it's not a gig, it's actually worship, but it's all good. This isn't a performance, like, I'm not a superstar, but thank you so much, you know. And then he taps me a bit hard, he says, no, you better bring a big gig up, like a good one. And I'm like, okay, like, it's hurting my shoulder a bit now. Like, it's getting aggressive. I'm like, thank you so much, you know, thank you. And then he says, no, look around. And I look around at this beautiful sea of people, three tiers high, like people literally leaning over the balconies, like crying out for God, like with a true desperation and a hunger for God. And this Filipino man, he says to me, you know, the ticket to be here tonight, that cost these people in their currency here in Manila, is about 3 months worth of their occupation to be here tonight. Because the reality of the presence of God and their great need for God is more significant than the temporal needs for even to feed their family for 3 months. So when I'm saying to you, get up, you better... Basically, ever been slapped in the face by the Holy Spirit? Basically saying, like, you better bring the presence of God or do your part to make sure this isn't a show, because I know you're from Australia, right? And so I come in and I feel like the Holy Spirit just smacks me in the face as I'm walking up the stairs. I'm like, repent. I'm walking up like, I'm not even a Christian. Like, I don't know if I should lead worship. But the Holy Spirit says to me, I'm so sick of your polished worship. I want some messy worship tonight, Chardon. Like, I don't want your cosmopolitan pocket in the jean and the latte or whatever you drink. And you know how we do it? We come to church, it's winter. Oh, just give it, you know, just give him one hand for that. Oh, I like that song, You're Worthy of It. Yeah, I'll give him a bit of a high hand for that one. Like, you know how, like, in our society, in our culture, it's like we can, but God desires messy worship. He desires us to be on our faces, on our knees, having an understanding that we're in the presence of an almighty God who wants to move and manifest himself with you and I today. You know, and this is his tabernacle. This is his dwelling place. This is the house of God, that we get the privilege to come in and set the table for him to come and dwell and be here. You know, maybe you're here today and maybe it's your first time in church. You know, maybe you've been invited by a friend or family member. Maybe you've only been coming for a while and you're kind of sussing this whole thing out. And I just want to, maybe in the worship and even maybe now, your heart, you're feeling something. I want to encourage you, that's not just emotions. The Spirit of God is here in this. I know it sounds crazy, but this is the reality of our life as a Christian. We get the great privilege to come into God's house where He does dwell. And those feelings are very real feelings. In fact, it's probably Jesus who loves you and has designed you and fashioned you very uniquely, knocking on the door of your heart because He loves you. And He's seen your frustrations. He's seen your heart cry late at night in your bed. But He actually created you for a greater purpose. And the hurt that you felt, He actually wants to remove all your pain. He actually wants to give you new life. And the Bible tells us when we open up our heart and we receive Jesus, you're going to become a new creation today. Like this whole reason that you're here or have been coming a few weeks or maybe here for the first time, can I let you know, like, you've been set up by God. Like all of heaven has orchestrated a few things and different cars and things and workplace and roster so that you could be here today because He loves you. He cares for you. In fact, He created you. He sent His Son Jesus. This isn't just a fairy tale. This actually happened to the Middle East. He came on this earth and He actually died a horrific death that you and I, now Christians all across the world, millions of believers may walk in freedom with Jesus. And He doesn't, friend, I want to encourage you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. He loves you infinitely. And He would do anything to be in relationship with you once again. And so, church, could we just stand off here? Could I invite the worship team to come? You know, we're going to worship and we're going to engage with our God in a few moments, but I would just love to give that opportunity. I would hate this moment to come and not give an opportunity. And you're here and you're hearing the words of my voice. You're under the sound of my voice. And I want to encourage you today. Don't miss this defining moment. You're surrounded by a large move of people here today that were once like you, living in sin and shame and guilt and frustration and a lack of understanding of why we exist. But by the goodness of God, it's not that we're better than you. It's not that we've done something beyond you. No. We're just like you, friend. We're people that just need a Savior called Jesus. And we too open up our heart at some point and received His great love. And now we can honestly say we're like, I'm a completely different person. Just look at me for a moment. I know I look like this currently. If you knew me before Jesus, like pre-Jesus, it was not good. I wasn't an intentional bad person. I didn't do all these stereotypical things, but my inner world was not good. I was in a dark place. But when you open up your heart and you receive Jesus, the Bible tells us that He will wash every mistake, every sin. He forgets completely, like not just kind of remembers, like He completely forgets about your past and His whole focus for you is your future. He created you with gifts and talents on your life that He actually wants you now to outwork for His kingdom. And so just with every head bowed and every eye closed and every believer here today praying on your behalf, there's a church of people that have had this exact opportunity and it was a life-altering decision. Friend, I want to encourage you today. Would you open up your heart? Would you open up your heart to Jesus Christ who loves you? And I want to give you this invitation in a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something quite bold. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. And you're not just lifting your hand to me. You're lifting it up towards heaven to say, I want Jesus. I want to receive Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray as a church over your life. And we're going to celebrate with you as all of heaven celebrates these decisions of these ones coming back, sons and daughters into relationship with Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how messy your situation is. You might be here going, yeah, but Chardon, like, that sounds so good, but like my situation is really complex. Like I've got some real complexities with my life. Friend, you are not disregarded from the kingdom of God. Jesus has died for your life. He would do it again just for you. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you here today, maybe it's the first time you've ever done this. You're about to raise your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus. I open up my heart. I want Him to forgive me. I want Him to make me whole. Maybe you're here today and you've done this before. You once were walking with Jesus. You once were maybe a disciple of Jesus. But if you were to be honest with yourself today, you would say, hey, Chardon, I wouldn't honestly say He's the Lord of my life, that He's actually my Savior that I have surrendered to as a bondservant. I'm not really in relationship, a dynamic relationship with Jesus. I'm kind of just in the motions. I want to give you this invitation too, that this would be the last time you ever have to raise your hand, because you're going to live a lifelong relationship as a lifelong disciple of Jesus Christ here today. So if that's you, friend, the room praying on your behalf, would you just lift your hand right now? This isn't just to me, this is to Jesus. Awesome, I see your hand. Awesome, brother, we see your hand as well. Awesome, young lady, I see your hand. Is there anyone else here today to receive Jesus, the greatest gift? Awesome, brother, I see your hand. God bless you. God sees your heart. God sees your heart. Is there anyone else here today? Awesome, sir, I see your hand. God sees your heart today. Incredible, incredible miracles taking place right now. Is there anybody else? Wow, wow. Wow, heaven is celebrating right now when even just one comes home to the Father. Oh my goodness, Jesus, thank you, God, for saving a wretch like us. Hey, church, just lift your eyes. Even if you've raised your hand, just lift your eyes for a moment. Just look at me. That was the greatest decision that you will ever make in your entire life. Your life's about to look radically different right now. We as a church, we want to pray for you because we know this decision's life-altering. And we believe that the Spirit of God right now, as you open your heart and as we're about to pray, you're going to receive the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was with Christ is now going to come into your heart, and you're about to become a new creation. You're about to become a son and a daughter of God, walking with Him for the rest of your life. And this journey is going to look different. You're going to feel different. Things are going to shift, right? And so this is the whole reason we're even here. Like, this is the greatest miracle, like miracle of health and mind and physical bodies is amazing. Jesus can do it and does do it today. But the miracle of salvation is the greatest miracle on earth. And so we want to pray. Let's pray right now, church. Come on, this is an amazing moment. Father God, we pray for every single one of these people that lifted their hands, your sons, your daughters, your children. We thank you, God, that they're coming back to a relationship with you like you created them. I just thank you right now, Spirit of God, that you're forgiving every sin, every mistake, every wrongdoing. You're washing it as white as snow right now. And Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, would you just come and fill these hearts that are saying, I want Jesus, I want to be whole, I want to be saved and walking with Him. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a new creation forming inside of them right now, and that these ones are going to be sons and daughters walking all the days of their life with you, healthy relationship with you, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name, we all said amen and amen. Come on, let's celebrate with our new brothers and sisters here today in the family of God, the kingdom of God. Amazing. Firstly, congratulations. We are so, so excited for the decision you just made. And this is like just a small portion of the party. All of heaven is celebrating your decision. And, you know, as a church, we don't take this decision lightly. We care about your future. So what's going to happen after this service in about 5 minutes or so, we're about to worship and sing to our God. But in a moment, you know, someone's going to come and make themselves known to you that saw you. Or if someone doesn't come to you, can we encourage you, please don't just leave today. We're making such a big life-altering moment. Like, this is a date that you'll write in your calendar, that you'll look back and say, wow, my life radically changed. Like, you need to talk to someone today. And it's not like a long-winded conversation. We're not going to take you to some weird, creepy room and have you there for 30 minutes. You know, we just want to get to know your name. We maybe want to give you a Bible. We want to do this journey with you, as you're now part of our family. You're now my brother or sister. Like, we're family now. Welcome to the body of Christ. You're now a Christian. And so, church, can we put our hands together one more time? Come on, let's celebrate this incredible moment in history. And so, church, I want to stir your heart this morning. Just before we leave, before we grab our kids, hey, we've been called to a dynamic relationship with Jesus. We've been called to live on the altar of our God every day. Not just on a Sunday. You know, maybe tomorrow you need to get on your knees again in your bedroom and say, Father God, you are real. Lord Jesus, you died for me and your Spirit lives in me. We have the ability to carry the presence of God. This place houses the presence of God, but you too can house the presence of God every single day. We breathe Him in. He's literally as real as my pores, my fingerprints, the air in my lungs, the blood in my veins. That's where He dwells. That's where God dwells inside of you and I. And so we're going to sing. The team's going to lead us in this amazing song. And I want to encourage you, let's not give God pocket worship. Let's not give Him polished worship. If you need to get messy before God, if you need to maybe repent or cry out and adore upon Him and exalt Him today, I encourage you, don't waste this moment in the presence of an almighty God today. And so we're going to sing of the greatness and the worthy of our God. Come on, from the depths of your heart, we sing.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.